Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Think Orange podcast.
A podcast with ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
Here are your hosts, Dave Adamson and Ashley Bohens.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Think Orange podcast. My name is Ashley, and I am so happy to be here with you. My lovely co-host, Dave, is in Australia for the summer, visiting his family, hanging out, and posting fantastic pictures on his Instagram. You guys should check him out. Rumor has it, though, he's actually over there trying to adopt a koala bear. So we are going to be without our Australian wonder from down under today. But I'm excited about today's episode because we have some fantastic guests with us on the pod, and they're going to be talking about what it means to reactivate the families in your church. And I'm excited because these guests not only are going to be on the pod today, but they're also going to be part of Orange Tour 2017, where we're going to be visiting 19 different cities sometime between September and November, all over the country, and talking about what it means to be for our neighbors. And one way you can be for your neighbor is to be for the families in your community. First, we're going to be hearing from Mike Clear, Executive Director of Children's Strategy here at Orange, and he's going to be sharing some shocking statistics about family and how culture has shifted over time. And the traditional family in America is no longer what it used to be, and he's going to share some insight into that. And this is important for us to understand, because if families have shifted, then that means the way we minister to kids, students, and children has to shift as well. And the church still plays a huge role when it comes to the family. And then we're going to hear Joseph Sojourner, aka Sojo, who is also known as Stand-In Dave. He's going to interview Sherry Surratt, Executive Director of Family Strategy at Orange, also the champion for our Parent Q initiatives. And Joseph is going to talk to Sherry about not just partnering with parents, but what we can do to activate the family to connect with each other when they're outside of our church building. So without further ado, I'm going to throw it to Mike.
I want to talk about the opportunity that we have as a church to help reactivate the family, not only for the families in our church, but for the families in our community. Now, I want to talk about the landscape of family, because family, the family landscape, it is changing. Would you agree with that? Like, what do you think about when you think about family? I don't know what you think about, because you might have grown up in a normal, healthy, functioning family, whatever that means, okay? And then some of you, maybe like me, you grew up in a family that was not so normal and not so healthy and not so functioning. And I remember growing up in the 80s, which is by far the greatest decade for music and television, okay? So I remember watching television and looking to this television for an idea of what family maybe should look like, right? And I recently did a Google search on the most iconic TV families of all time. And you're like, really? Why would you waste your time doing that? And here's why, friends. Because it's the family ties that bind us together. And we invite these TV dynasties into our full house for good times and happy days. And we watch these married with children characters one day at a time, and it becomes an all in the family affair where it gets us through the wonder years, and it always brings some home improvements. And so we know that modern families matter because they take us to seventh heaven. Friends, that'll preach, okay? All right. So I don't know what you think about when you think about families. You may think of the Ingalls. You may think of the Bradys. You may think of the Jeffersons. You may think of the Keatons. I'm just going to end the debate right now. The most iconic TV family of all time are the Bravermans. Mic drop. All right, so I'm going to throw out some statistics to you. I've got a lot here to show you. If you don't know the Bravermans, I pity you. Okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to throw out some statistics to you that help indicate how the landscape of family is changing. Okay, I got a lot of numbers here for you we're going to go through. When it comes to unmarried parents, in 1960, one out of every 100 kids lived with unmarried parents. Today, it is one out of every 10. One out of every 10. As far as single moms go, in 1970, one out of every 10 kids lived with a single mom. Today, that number is one out of every 4 children live with a single mom. As far as working moms go, in 1970, 35% of all moms with kids under the age of 18, they worked outside the home. Today, that number is 71% of all moms with children under the age of 18, they work outside of the home. Births to unmarried women in 1980, it was 18% of all births occurred outside the marriage. In 2007, it was 40%, and today it is 63% of all births to women under the age of 30 happen outside of marriage. When it comes to autism, in 1960, 5 out of every 10,000 kids was diagnosed with autism. Today, that number is 1 out of every 100. And couples living together, in 1960, 10% of all couples lived together before marriage. Today, that number is 65% of all couples lived together before marriage. And according to the latest U.S. census taken, 23.5% of families living in the United States are identified as a married couple who live together with their own biological children, 23.5%. Now, you hear all those statistics, and you say, I see nothing but obstacles. But I want to share with you another statistic that will hopefully show you opportunity. In a study done of parents who were both followers of Jesus and those who were not followers of Jesus, a study was done, and 96% of these parents believed that they are responsible for the moral development of their own children. And in this study, those same parents, 85% of them believed that they are responsible for the spiritual development of their own children. And that's why what you do this Sunday has more strategic opportunity than you could ever possibly imagine. Because parents want a better plan. And parents are open to anyone and any organization that will help them win as a parent and help them win as a family. And every parent I have ever met in my life has one thing in common, whether they are followers of Jesus or whether they are not. And that one thing they have in common is that they want their kids to have a better future. So we're going to ask some questions today when it comes to how we can reactivate the family. And the first question I want to ask you is simply this. What if Sunday was a beginning and not an end? What if Sunday was a beginning and not an end? And here's what I mean by that. If you're new to Orange, we talk about the two influences that are most prominent in the life of every child and every teenager. That is the influence of the church and the influence of the parent. And when we talk about the church, we talk about it in terms of the color of yellow. When we talk about the parents, we talk about it in terms of the color of red. And we believe that two combined influences make a greater impact than just two influences. And red and yellow come together, you get orange. And the other thing that we talk about in terms of those influences is this. As a church leader, you have a limited amount of time with the kids and the students that you minister to. You have, on average, about 40 hours in a given year to say everything that you want to say, to do everything that you want to do to influence their life for Jesus Christ. In comparison, a parent has in the same calendar year, not counting the hours their kids are at school, not counting the hours their kids are sleeping, they have about 3,000 hours in a given year. So when you just look at the math, a parent has 75 times the amount of influence that you will ever have as a church. And so when you begin to look at Sunday as a beginning and not an end, when you leverage your influence as a church and you help a parent influence their leverage as a parent throughout the week, then guess what? Both influences win. And so Sunday is strategically positioned at the beginning of the week. It is like the kickoff to the week. It is why God put NFL football on Sunday, right? So it helps tee up the week. It helps kick off the week. And it is strategically positioned to help families do the same. But we need to think of Sunday. We're great as a church of looking at Sunday as a beginning, but sometimes we also look at it as an end. And we put a period at the end of Sunday because the experience and the things that we talk about with kids and students, it begins here and then it ends here. And we don't ever hand off the proper tools or the necessary resources or a strategy to help connect parents to what we are talking about on Sunday. So what if Sundays was a beginning and not an end? The second question I would ask you is simply this, is what if you made Sunday easy to repeat on Monday? What if you made Sunday easy to repeat on Monday? And sometimes I'm a tad concerned that we are maybe marginalizing God to just one day of the week with the kids and the students that we influence. Because if all we do are create amazing environments and amazing experiences for kids where they talk about God, they sing about God, they dialogue about God, and that's it on the Sunday, we may be marginalizing their faith to just one day instead of an everyday type of a faith. And just kind of like think about it as the newspaper. For those of you who are over 40 like I am, you remember when like the paper came on Sundays, and I know it still comes on Sundays, but like back in the day, it was like bigger than the paper during the rest of the week because it had a beefed up news section, beefed up sports section. It had coupons. It had comics printed in color, and it had the religion section. Why? Because religion was designated for Sunday. And again, I'm all for creating the most unbelievable experiences you can for kids to experience at your church. But I want you to be able to think about what if we talked about, what if we made what we say on Sunday as easy for parents to talk about on Monday? And this has to go with your resources. This has to go with your strategy to partner with families. Because if you want what you talk about on Sunday to be repeated throughout the week, you have to look at how we feel like the best strategy you could ever do is wrestle with your core truth or your big idea or whatever your theme is, like whatever that concept is you want kids to know, that you want to be an anchor in their heart. You wrestle with that idea so that you can be able to take like a bite-sized chunk out of that and craft it in a way that you can hand it to a parent so that it is easy for them to repeat on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. What is not easy, friends, is you sending your sermon to them and say, hey, parents, just want to give you our lesson. Hope you have some time to read through it and pull out a nugget of truth that you can share with your kids. That's not what we're talking about. You have to pre-decide what is that nugget of truth that you want your parents to know, that you want them to be able to talk about at mealtime, that you want them to be able to discuss in the car when they're driving to practice or to school or wherever it may be, to talk about at bedtime. What are those core truths that you want parents to know? And you have to be able to give it to them in a way that is digestible and in a way that is easy to repeat, okay? I am a parent that goes to a great church and they send a lot of stuff our way, but because we are busy and because life just happens, I am looking for the stuff that is going to be easy to repeat and the things that I can weave into the routine of our everyday week. And this whole idea of weaving in biblical truth into the everyday moments of your life is not something new, friends. It's something that we stole from Moses centuries ago, okay? Because Moses tried to start a new tradition with the Jewish people saying, hey, listen, if you want the important things to stick in the life of your kids and your families, you have to talk about them beyond just the one day. You have to weave them into the fabric of your everyday. When you lie down, when you get up, when you walk along the road, all these things. And so I would just say, take a look at what you are giving the parents of the kids and the students in your ministry. What are you handing off to them? And I know it's easy just to fall into the routine of like, here's your take-home paper. I'll see it in a minute on the floor, in the hallway, or in the parking lot, and all this thing. So you got to think about, okay, what are we giving them? And is what we giving them useful? Just because you give something to somebody, it doesn't make it helpful, okay? So take a look at it as a team and say, could we do this differently? Could we make this simpler? Is this easy? How is this connected to the everyday routine moments that a family goes through? Take a look at your social media strategy, okay? In the day and the age that we live in, with your church website, with your church Facebook page, with Twitter, with email, with group text, with Periscope, with everything that is out there, take a look at what are some of the things that we can send cues to parents at key times so they can just talk about what we talked about on Sunday so they can reinforce it in the life of their kids or their students, okay? Here's what I would close with and say. What you do this Sunday for kids and students, it has more potential to impact a family in your church and in your community than what your senior pastor does, okay? Now, if you're a senior pastor, don't get mad, all right? Because that's not to be taken in a negative sense, okay? Kerry Newhoff, who is here, okay? And he's a great friend of ours. And Carrie lives in the Toronto area, does a great job at reactivating the family through his church and trying to partner with parents. And Carrie constantly thinks about that 75% of parents in his community that will never attend their church. And actually, that number is a lot higher up in Toronto. Okay. And so one night, Carrie was preparing a message for the next morning, putting his final prep on it and all that stuff. And he says, "You know what? I had an epiphany. And I thought, you know, the families in our community who don't go to our church, they don't lie in bed at night thinking about and worrying about what I'm going to speak on Sundays." He said, "It occurred to me what they think about and what they worry about lying in bed at night is they think about their kids and they think about their family and their future." And you as a church are in a unique position to offer those families hope and direction. Because my guess is those families would love to know that there are other people than themselves who are thinking about their families. And Sunday is strategically positioned at the beginning of each week. Sunday serves as a catalyst where we as God's people can come together and we can receive like faith and inspiration and we get like spiritual and emotional fuel, right? It's Sunday serves kind of has like a reboot, a restart. No matter what week you had, no matter what you were going through, we can come together and Sunday has a way of doing that. And this Sunday, you're going to have all different types of parents who potentially will walk through the doors of your church. You will have parents who walk through your doors who are wondering. You will have parents who walk through your doors who are wandering. Parents who walk through your doors who are worrying. Parents who walk through your doors who are tired. Parents who walk through your doors who are hurting. Parents who walk through your doors who are hoping. Parents who walk through your doors who are determined. And parents who walk through your doors who are suffering. And they're losing the battle of faith and future with their kids. And that's why what you do this Sunday is so important.
Well, hey, my name is Joseph Sojourner, and I am here sitting in for Dave Adamson, here with a good friend, Sherry Surratt, and I could not wait for this conversation because I think it is so, so wonderful for parents to be able to hear. But we are talking about the idea of reactivating parents every day of the week. And so, Sherry, I'd love to kind of jump this off and ask you a question right now and just say, what does it mean with this simple idea of what does it mean to actually say reactivating parents?
Yeah, what a great question, and I love this topic. You know, families, as we know, are incredibly busy, no matter what age of their child, from baby all the way through high school. And, you know, parents know they need to connect with their child. They know that in their head, but how that really plays out in real life, it just doesn't happen that way, right? So it's really important as church leaders that we give specific things to help the parent to connect with their child every single week. Because here's what we know. When parents will do that on a regular rhythm, it is very, very meaningful. It'll impact how the child will develop and how they will turn out really at the end of their life, which every parent wants that. Every parent wants to be a great parent and to influence their child's journey. And so when we give them encouragement every single week with easy things to do, it helps the parent do that.
I love what you just said. So, and that brings us to a great question that kind of bounces right off of that. Is reactivating parents something that happens annually or when the seasons change or every week? I mean, it's such a popular question that parents ask all the time. When does that happen?
Yeah. And you know, we have done a ton of research on the family in the annual rhythm of a family. What are they facing? And we know that there are four critical inflection points in the family. And inflection point is where opportunity meets need, right? Mm-hmm. So we say a great place to start is in the fall. That's an incredible inflection point. The family is getting ready for school. They're asking all kinds of questions. What's our new rhythm going to be? That's a great point to, as a church leader, aim an event there because you're going to meet their felt need at that time. And you know, throughout the year, the four inflection points, the first one, start, is in the fall. The second one, restart, is in January. February. The third one, right around spring break, is called Focus. And the last one is Recharge, which is the beginning of summer. Those are great points as a church to either aim an event or an encouragement at a parent to kind of get that annual rhythm started.
Now, here's kind of the situation I feel like we live in today's culture. There's so many different types of families. You have your single parent, you have both parents in the home, you might have a broken foster child, adopted, or whatever it might be. When looking at these type of programs or this type of knowledge, how do you think it stacks up with all these different types of families? I mean, how would you say that this, does it work for every kind of family, or is it just for a specific picture perfect family, or does it work as well when it's broken?
Yeah, you know, in church life, a lot of times we kind of tend to aim things at that perfect mom and dad and 2.3 kids, you know, that family that really doesn't even exist hardly anymore. The good thing about this strategy is it fits every type of family. We have a lot of families now where the grandparent is parenting the child, or there's a single parent, or there's a teenage mom who has a child in her home. This strategy kind of aimed at the times of day when a parent can interact with a child that naturally occurs in their day, every day, fits every type of family.
Oh, so, so good. Okay, so let's get down to the stats, because this is what I absolutely love when I was looking over this here. It says, a church only has 40 hours of potential influence with kids each year. But the average parent or guardian has 3,000 hours of potential influence. Now, that sounds like a huge number, but I would guess that most busy parents probably don't feel like they get that much time with their kids. So could you share with us some organic opportunities for connection between the parents and the kids and how they can leverage that time together?
Yeah, you know, the parent really does have the power of influence for the family. Even if they come to your church, as a church leader, you're probably going to only have about 40 hours versus 3,000 hours a year that the parent can influence their children when you take out the hours that you're sleeping and working and school and all those types of things. So we've done some intense study right here. And we know that for a preschooler, the parent, they have about 12 hours a day to influence their child. Wow. Now, it drops from there, though. When a child enters elementary school, that parent will have about 6 hours a day. Mm. Middle school, about 4 hours. And in high school, they have about 2 hours. So any leaders who are out there who lead preschool parents, the time for a parent to seize that is in the preschool years. But we've broken it down even further than that. So we know in the preschool years, there are four times that occur naturally every day. Morning time, drive time, that time in the car, cuddle time, and bath time. Those are the times that automatically occur when you can put something very simple in the hands of a parent, maybe just to talk about or to do or to repeat to their child to impact them. In elementary school, those four times, morning time, drive time, meal time, and bedtime, those occur in every family, no matter what the shape or the size of the family is. Everybody's waking up in the morning. Everybody's having time in the car. Mm-hmm. Everybody's eating at least at some point during the day. Sometimes it's tacos in the drive-thru. It's not always sitting around the table. And bedtime. And in middle school, it gets a little bit more specific. It's still morning time and drive time and meal time. In high school, this is where the parent has the least amount of time to influence their child, but everybody's still getting up in the morning. Yeah. And then we call the rest of the time their time. Those are those golden moments where your teenager comes and just asks a question or all of a sudden is suddenly ready to talk. A lot of times that catches you by surprise. And that's why through our curriculum, through our ParentQ app, through the resources that we have, we give you those things to say in those surprise moments.
I love that you kind of talked about the organic kind of evolution of these times that you have with your kids. So let's get down for the parent who is saying, I need the practical things that I can actually say to my child. Like, okay, so now I know when is the best time to talk, but what's the best thing to say? So when leveraging these opportunities with the kids every single week, what is the most important thing to prioritize discussing with your kid?
You know, that's a great question, Joseph. A lot of times as a parent, we think we want to seize those moments and teach a big lesson. You know, as a parent of faith, we think, oh man, I want to teach my child, you know, a Bible story or a memory verse. Those are all great things. But really when those moments occur, the priority is connect with their heart. Mm. Think about what they're going through in the moment. We give you questions and things to say and do that actually connect you to the heart of your child, because that's critical critically important. You know, when you start out with a baby, your parental influence is high. Your relational influence is low at that point because you're still building it. At sixth grade, it makes a critical crossover. So from there on out, your parental influence decreases and your relational influence grows if you have captured those moments to engage the heart of your child.
Let's stay right on this practical kind of spectrum right here. We know it's important to reactivate the parents. We know that these organic discussions are needed. But how do we actually do that as parents?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, if a parent comes to our church, we give them, you know, things, handouts with the curriculum that a lot of times we'll give them things to do, kind of tell the parent what the Bible story was about, different things like that. And usually what happens to those handouts is they fall on the floor of the car on the way home from church. And nothing is ever done with those. And, you know, sometimes a parent will put it up on the refrigerator, but a parent wants to connect, but until we give them something very specific to do and to say in the moment, it just does not happen. And so here at Orange, we provide lots of resources for a parent to be able to do that. One of the ways is our Parent Q app, and you can download that in the Apple Store or Android. It's also on your iPad. And every single week, it gives you one of those cues that happen naturally in the time of day according to the phase of your child. So it's baby all the way through high school. So if you are parenting a baby, a bath time cue will pop up. If you're parenting a high schooler, a their time cue will pop up right at your fingertips. It's something you can do in 2 or 3 minutes. You don't have to have any prep. You don't have to think it through. It's just a spontaneous way to connect with the heart of your child.
So when you download this app, you essentially put the information in of your child so that they can give you specific things to do for the specific phase that that child is in.
Absolutely. It's based on years and years of phase research. So we have just kind of dove into what is a three-year-old like today, all the way from baby, all the way through high school.
That's good.
And that's exactly where we aim the content, along with those things to do and say. We also add a phase cue, meaning for the parent, we tell you what is going on in the mind of your child this week.
Ooh.
And all of that content refreshes every single week. So the parent enters the birth date of their child, and all content is based on that.
That's wonderful. All right, so we have the churches now. So we're getting out of the home. We're moving into the churches.
Yeah.
So many leaders think that they don't have volunteers or money to do something big and elaborate to reactivate these parents.
Yeah.
What can they do, or how can we resource the churches for them to be able to equip their volunteers or their parents to be able to have these moments with their kids?
Yeah, you know, if you use the Orange curriculum, we do that for you with the handouts that go with every age of curriculum. So we give you parent cues that you can print out to give to the parent, or you can put on social media. Here's an interesting fact. I just learned this from CrowdTap, a marketing firm. They said that 39% of dads, 49% of moms utilize social media at least once a day for parenting purposes. So what does that tell us? It tells us, as a church leader, we want to put great content on social media where parents already are, on Facebook, on Instagram, because they're going there every day anyway, looking for great parenting content.
They're looking for good content. They're looking to snoop on their children. What do you think it is?
Probably both.
I love that. Okay. Well, if you only could connect with parents even once a year, if you could only could just connect just one time a year, what would the best thing to do if you could only connect with that
parent? What a great question, because we want to focus, right? So offering a ton of events for families is usually not very effective. But what we tell churches is, if you can do one thing in a whole year, start at that start point when school starts and offer what we call a phase event. That means just simply gather parents together and let them connect with other parents who have a child of the same age. We have resources for you to do that. So we have a parent discussion guide aimed at every single year from birth all the way up through high school that parents can use just in their home by themselves, or be able to use with other parents just to talk about what their child is like today. There is nothing more powerful than parents who have the same age child to get together, because invariably they'll talk about things that are happening and another parent will say, me too. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really powerful. So we say, start in the fall. offer a phase event. Use these phase resources that are so easy to use. The summary cards built around the phases, the parent discussion guides. Get parents together so that you're setting them up for a great school year.
That's so good. In fact, when we got a chance to gather our parents together oftentimes through our ministry, the feedback was always through the roof. I mean, the connections that were made, the friendships that were made when they continued on getting coffee together maybe once a month or having dinners or husband and wives really connecting. So I will say they'll end up doing a lot of the work themselves just through affirming each other and saying, hey, here's what I did in my home. And here's something to know that you're not the only one going through that. I absolutely love that. And that's the perfect way to start every single school year. So I would say that's wonderful. But that's the picture perfect situation. What would you do if you're doing all these efforts, you're making these events, you're trying to make sure you resource a parent, but they're just not connecting with any of your efforts? I mean, at that point, what would you say you'd do?
Yeah. And you know, an important part of reactivating the parent every single week is making sure that you, the church leader, are in front of them every single week. Now, how in the world does that happen, even with parents that you have never even met? Through social media, through a weekly email. And by the way, we have a tool called Go Weekly that sets you up to do that. We make the email for you. It's really important that you are in front of that parent in any way possible. So we know parents are on social media. So church leaders, get on social media, even if it's an encouragement that you're sending out or a link to a blog post that you can get off of parentq.org, even if it's connecting them to a podcast. Everything that we are sending to parents is centered around this concept of parents, engage with your children. It's not as hard as you think. We make it easy for you. You, the leader, need to remind the parent every single week, hey, this is easy. Take just 2 minutes. Connect with the heart of your child.
Sure. I love that. If you could give one final tip or one final piece of advice for a leader as to how to reactivate a parent, what would you say?
You know, going back to the 40 hours versus 3,000 hours, obviously, we want to connect with that parent. We want to come alongside them to set them up as the spiritual champion of their home, even if they're just very early in that journey. And it takes a strategy to be able to do that. I would encourage church leaders to sit down in a team and talk about how are we doing in partnering with parents? How are we doing in getting in front of them every single week? It takes a strategy, but the strategy is actually really, really easy. It's just as simple as coming up with simple things to send them on a weekly basis to remind them of the criticalness of their role. They are the spiritual leader and champion of their household, and we can set them up to do that.
So one more place that they could go if they're looking for more information of everything that you said today, is there a place they can go to find that information?
Yeah, absolutely. Parentq.org, full of blog posts for parents aimed at age range all the way through babies through high school. It connects you to a podcast that comes out twice a month. Same topics covered. We talk about the hard stuff. We talk about how do you talk to your child about sex? How do you deal with tantrums that are driving you crazy? And we all do it in a biblical base to kind of help you as a parent just grow in your spiritual journey as well. It'll connect you with the ParentQ app that you can download. Lots of other resources. If you connect with us through the app, we connect you with lots of phase resources for the phase of your child.
You can never have too much information. You can never have too much help when it comes to connecting with your child.
Right.
So Sherry, thank you so much for this conversation and really the enlightening things that you shared with us. Thanks for sharing that website, and you can continue to follow you. If something they can follow you at on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter at Sherry Surratt. I'm on Facebook.
Come on.
Just all over the place.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time here today.
Great. Thank you.
I love what Sherry was talking about today, and I think that it's such an important resource to have, ParentQ. And just so you know, that's spelled C-U-E, ParentQ.org. It's not just for a parent, but it truly is for a ministry leader who is looking to connect with parents and give them a resource. I myself don't have any children, and so a lot of times parents would come to me and they would ask me questions pertaining to their children and what they could do better. And just having a resource like this allows us to direct them to a place where the research was done, where the information is right there at their hand, where it literally is tailored to their child in their phase and in their stage of life. And I can only imagine how many young ministry people who are in the field that they're working in will be able to now be able to have something tangible to put in a parent's hand and a place to direct them when they're looking to get that information. So I hope you guys get a chance to check out that website. We're so thankful for someone like her coming in to share that information with us. So make sure you connect your parents to parentq.org.
Wow, that was so great to hear from Sherry and Joe. I mean, it's easy to sit here and talk about the idea of empowering parents and why it's so important, but it's another thing to talk about how to actually do that and then actually give ministry leaders or parents resources in their hands to tangibly do something with it, which is why we developed the Parent Q app. And it's organized based on that natural flow of the day in the life of the kid, no matter what the family dynamic is. It's not information overload. I love it because it's so simple. I have it on my phone. I don't even have kids, but I love to see the information that's being pushed towards parents so that when parents do approach me, I can actually talk from experience of what I'm seeing on a daily basis. It's free and available now on Apple and Android devices. So if you're a ministry leader and you're listening to this, this should be your go-to to put in the hands of parents because it is free. It's easily accessible. And I think that no matter the family dynamic, it's relevant and they can apply it easily. So if you found this podcast helpful today and you're looking for ways to get the rest of your staff and volunteers on board with activating families in your community, come see us at Orange Tour. Sherry will be there. Mike will be there. You can ask your questions. We're excited for what we have in store and what we have planned on Orange Tour. So register today at orangetour.org. Again, that is orangetour.org. Hey, and if this is your first time listening, go to iTunes, Google Play, subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. Leave us a review. Maybe tell Dave how much you missed him on this episode. And you can also check out thinkorangepodcast.com. And don't forget to check out the show notes. You can easily tweet at us. Leave us your questions, things you'd love to hear about. We can't wait to hear from you. If you would like to have a summary of this episode, check out thinkorangepodcast.com. All right, guys, see you next time. And remember, when you think next generation, think orange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Think Orange podcast.
Join us next time for more ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
For more episodes and show notes, visit thinkorangepodcast.com.